You must have heard that. How many times you heard that the Quran teaches hostility, especially towards Jews and Christians, regardless of aggression. Because the Quran says, they said, don't take Jews and Christians for friends. Just by show of hands, how many of you heard that sometimes? By show of hands, don't feel shy. That's quite common, is it? Okay, let's see what problems are there in that myth. The original Arabic term in the Quran, and again, the Quran is not in English. The Quran was not revealed in English. It did not say, for those who know Arabic, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أصدقاء, but أولياء. And in the Arabic language, there is a difference between أصدقاء means friends, and أولياء, which means protectors. People that you have to alliance with them to protect you. Does that offend a Jew or Christian when you simply say that Muslims should look for their own security and protection to each other as people who share the same faith? It shouldn't be offensive to anyone. People of various religions also, or other ideologies even, seek mutual protection. But it doesn't mean be hostile and don't have friendship. But then there is more than that. If you look at the sections, again following the same order of types of mistakes, if you look at the very same section, you find that it deals with the hypocrites who, when Islam was still trying to stand on its own feet in the midst of danger, they go and make alliance with the pagan Arabs in Mecca, but they remain part of the Muslim community. And as the Quran says, يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةً, they say, all right, if Muslims win, we say, oh, we're part of your community. And if the unbelievers win in the war, they say, look, you know, we were your friends, we're supplying you with all kind of encouragement. So the Quran condemns that kind of hypocrisy, and it is in that context that they don't take Jews and Christians as awliya, or others for that matter. If you look further in the same surah, you find that it speaks also about people who ridiculed Muslims. They say, don't take them awliya because they ridicule you, and when you stand for prayer, they mock at you when you stand. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعْبًا. Don't take those who took your religion for mockery as awliya. So talk about state of hostility as well. But then there's something even very interesting. If you go to the context of the Quran, the broader context of the Quran, how come it can be interpreted to say, don't take them as friends, whereas this crucial citation in the Quran, remember it, Surah number 60, verses 8 and 9. You know what it says? Allah does not forbid you or restrain you, O Muslims, with respect to those who did not fight you because of your religion, to undermine your Islam, or drive you out of your homes, oppressing you, that you should deal with them in kindness and justice. For God loves those who do good. What does it say basically, in a few words? If any non-Muslims living with you, and by the way, it doesn't apply only to Jews and Christians, all. If any non-Muslim is living with you as a neighbor, not fighting you because of your Islam, that means peaceful with you, not oppressing you, he's entitled, he and she is entitled to that kind treatment. But there is something more surprising that translations of the Quran could not convey. The original words about the relationship with these peaceful neighbors and friends and colleagues is the Arabic term tabarruhum, come from birr, spells like B-I-R-R. And you know what is the term birr? How is defined in Arabic? A'la darajat husn al-khuluq, the highest degree of good character in dealing with people. When the Prophet ﷺ used that term, birr, you know, he used it in the relationship between the person and who? Guess? Parents, exactly. Mother and father. What is the relationship between the person and his parents? It is more than translation of justice, more than kindness. There is respect. There is even an element of love, especially love of good for humanity. How could this be reconciled if we neglect that totality of the context of the Quran? But then there is something very interesting. The verse that I cited earlier from Surah 29 about the etiquette of dialogue with the people of the book, it say, بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ, courteous way. How do you be courteous if you're hateful to the person and he's not your friend. But something even more illogical in this cut and paste job. In Islam, if you take the idea that Islam says chop the head of someone who's not a Muslim, the same Islam teaches also that a Muslim male, there are certain forms of interfaith marriage. So a Muslim man, for example, will be allowed to marry a Christian wife. How should he treat his wife? Surah 30, ayah 21 in the Quran describes marital relationship between husband and wife as one that is based on peace, love, and compassion. Peace, love, and compassion. So if we take that cut and paste meaning of the verse, chop the heads of non-Muslims, the Muslim then would go to his wife, who's not a Muslim, and he says, honey, my book teaches me to live in peace with you. I love you. I have to be kind to you. But the other verse says, I have to chop off your head. Okay, I discussed this issue of meaning, يظهره على الدين كله. So let me come to some very quick conclusion. You might say that the whole presentation was based largely on quotation that come, like I said, from the two surahs that deal with the hostilities against Muslims, not generalization. But what is more important here, that there is a basic sensible rule. It's not only a rule of Islamic exegesis. It is a sensible rule for anyone. You open the Bible and study it, for example, or any scripture for that matter. You find out what are the predominant themes where you get dozens and dozens and dozens of verses. But then when you get to something that does not seem to go with that, now which one should be understood in the light of which? Do we understand the entirety of the Quran and its message in the light of these few quotations? I know, admittedly, I spent so much time on this few quotations. And say that the Quran is aggressive, teaches violence, teaches lack of consideration for the rights of others. What is the broad picture? The broad picture where you find hundreds, not dozens, of verses in the Quran are very clear. That the message of the Quran is a message of peace. And I did make that in the introductory point. Secondly, that the basic assumption in the Quran when it deals with relationship between Muslims and others is the acceptance of plurality in society. In the Quran, chapter 10, 11, and 4, I believe also Surah An-Nisa, you find numerous references that are made there that says something like this: if God wanted, he would have made all people believers. In another it says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah wanted, he would have made all people one nation. No dispute. Everybody is the same. Everybody believe in the same thing. But then some ayat says, وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. But Allah is testing you in what he has given you. So race with one another in goodness. Theological correctness or incorrectness, it's not your job. Communicate, care, discuss courteously, as the Quran say, live in peace, but leave the theology to be settled. You carry arms only to respond to hostilities and destructive attitudes. Then there's that special place of Jews and Christians that was referred to earlier. And finally, the emphasis, after all, is profound and profuse in the Quran about human brotherhood. And again, I end with the same verse we started with, O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and female, made you into nations and tribes, that you may get to know and recognize one another. The best of you, the most honored of you in the sight of God, is one who is most righteous. Let us all compete in this righteousness. Let us communicate with love, with compassion, with understanding, with all other religious communities, and invite all to also coexist in peace and mutual respect with Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.